I woke to the sound of bells. I couldn't make sense of them. Then I remembered where I was and understood that they were not our bells, but those of the monks, rousing them for some punishingly early ritual. My mind was about half sorted out. Many of the new ideas, events, people, and images that had come at me from every direction the day before had been squared away, like so many leaves rolled up and thrust into pigeonholes. Not that anything had really been settled. All of the questions that had been open when my head had hit the pillow were still pending. But in the intervening hours, my brain had been changing to fit the new shape of my world. I guess that's why we can't do anything else when we're sleeping. It's when we work hardest. The peals faded slowly until I couldn't tell whether I was hearing the bells themselves or ringing in my ears. Enduring was a deep tone, solid, steady, but faint because distant. I knew somehow that I'd been hearing it for hours, that in those moments of semi-waking when I'd rolled over or pulled up the covers, I had marked this sound and wondered what it was before falling back to sleep. An obvious guess would be some nocturnal bird, but the tone was low, for an avian throat, like someone playing a 10-foot-long flute half-choked with rocks and water. And birds tended not to just sit in one place and make noise for half the night. Some kind of big amphibian, then, crazy for a mate, squatting on a rock by the spring and blowing wind through a quivering air sac. But the sound was regular, patterned. Perhaps the hum from a generator, an irrigation pump down in the valley, trucks descending a grade using air brakes. Curiosity and a full bladder were keeping me awake. Finally, I got up, moving quietly so as not to disturb Leo, and tugged at my blanket. Out of habit, I was going to wrap it around myself. Then I hesitated, remembering that I was supposed to wear Extramuros clothes. In the pre-dawn gloom, I couldn't even see the pile of trousers and underwear and whatnot I had left on the floor last night. So I went back to plan A, peeled the blanket off the bed, wrapped it around myself, and went out. The sound seemed to come from everywhere at once. But by the time I had used the latrine and emerged into the cool morning air, I had started to get a good idea of where it came from. A stone retaining wall that the monks had built along a steep part of the mountain to prevent their road from crumbling into the valley. As I walked toward it, my perceptions cleared suddenly, and I shook my head in amazement at my own silliness in having imagined it was an amphibian or a truck. It was plainly a human voice, singing, or rather droning, for he had been stuck on the same note the whole time I'd been awake. The note changed slightly. Okay, so it wasn't a drone, it was a chant. A very, very slow one. Not wanting to stroll right up to Fra Jad and disturb him, I maneuvered around on the soft, wet grass of the retreat center's archery range until I was able to bring him in view at a distance of a couple of hundred feet. The retaining wall ran in straight segments, joined by round, flat-topped towers about 4 feet in diameter. Fra Jad had rescued his bolt from his luggage, plumped it up to winter thickness, and put it on, then climbed to the top of a pillar that had a fine view to the south across the desert. He was sitting there with his legs tucked under him and his arms outstretched. Off to the left, the sky was luminescent purplish, washed of stars. To the right, a few bright stars and a planet still shone, striving against the light of the coming day, succumbing one by one as the minutes went by. I could have stood there, watching and listening for hours. I got the idea, which might have been just my imagination, that Fra Jad was singing a cosmographical chant, a requiem for the stars that were being swallowed up in the dawn. Certainly it was music of cosmographical slowness. Some of the notes went on for longer than I could hold my breath. He must have some trick of breathing and singing at the same time. A single bell rang behind and above me at the monastery. A priest's voice sang an invocation in Old Orth. A choir answered him. It was a call to the dawn aught, or something. I was crestfallen that their rituals were trampling on Fra Jad's chant. but I had to admit that if Cord had been awake to see this, she'd have been hard put to see any difference between the two. Whatever Fra Jad was chanting was rooted, I knew, in thousands of years theoretical research, wedded to a musical tradition as old and as deep. But why put theorics into music at all? And why stay up all night, sitting in a beautiful place, chanting that music? There were easier ways to add 2 plus 2. I had been singing bass since the eventful season 6 years ago when I had fallen down the stairs from soprano. Where I lived, that meant lots of droning. When you spend 3 hours singing the same note, something happens to your brain. And that goes double when you have fallen into oscillatory lockstep with the others around you, and when you collectively have gotten your vocal cords tuned into the natural harmonics of the minster, to say nothing of the thousands of casks stacked against its walls. In all seriousness, I believe that the physical vibration of your brain by sound waves creates changes in how the brain works. And if I were a craggy old thousander, not a 19-year-old tenor, I might just have the confidence to assert that when your brain is in that state, it can think things it could never think otherwise. Which is a way of saying that I didn't think Fra Jad had been up all night chanting just because he was a music lover. He was doing something.